Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Maureen Moakley is away this week. Filling in for her is community activist, educator, and talk show host Pablo Rodriguez. We should also note he's a member of our board here at Rhode Island Public Radio. Good to see you, Pablo.
Good to be here.
And we're pleased to welcome our guest, Democratic candidate for governor, Clay Pell. Thanks for joining us, Clay.
Good morning, everyone. It's an honor to be here.
Plans for unveiling a settlement of the state pension dispute hit a snag this week, although the state retirement board may vote on the proposed settlement as soon as today. This process has been shrouded in secrecy due to a gag order imposed by a judge, and the stakes are very high both financially and politically. Clay, what do you say on the question about whether it's right to try to resolve this issue through mediation rather than answering once and for all whether the pension overhaul was legal?
I think that we need a finality to this as quickly as possible. And if that is through mediation, then that's what we should be working toward. This has gone on for too long. It's been very secretive. We don't know what's in it yet, so we'll have to wait and see. But I hope for resolution and resolution quickly for the fiscal stability of the state.
Scott, how do you see the outlook for satisfying both public employees who were upset about cuts to their pension benefits and taxpayers who are concerned about the bite of the state's long-term pension obligations?
Well, you've got to assume that's the reason that there is no settlement, that right now they can't find common ground of all the parties involved. And so you'd have to say that looking at this, you've got to try to balance the rights of the workers with the protection of the taxpayers. And obviously they haven't been able to come up with a compromise that'll work out that both sides can accept. So it looks like we're off to the races, off to court.
What do you say, Pablo? How do you see the outlook for a possible settlement here?
I think there's not going to be any winners in this settlement simply because we have waited too long to come to an agreement. There's just too much damage to the system. And the question is whether we are going to have a system at the end or not. So everyone is going to have their piece of flesh, so to speak.
Let's turn to some questions for our guest, Clay Pell, who's in a three-way Democratic primary with the other major candidates, Gina Raimondo and Angel Taveras. Clay, one of the major questions facing you is your experience. You've been a deputy secretary in the U.S. Department of Education. You worked as a White House fellow, and you've also worked in the Coast Guard. Of your jobs, which have you held for the longest, and for what length of time was that?
Well, I was in the Coast Guard for 4 years on active duty, and am now continue to serve in the Coast Guard Reserves, drilling in East Providence.
And what about those other government jobs? How long did you hold those?
Absolutely. I was a director for strategic planning for the president 2011 to 2013, and I served for the president as deputy assistant secretary for international and world language education 2013 at the tail end. That was a really important experience because it showed me how much we have to invest in our education and invest in the breadth of programs like language, arts, sports for everyone.
And just briefly to close this out, how do you respond to people who question whether you have enough experience to be governor?
Well, I bring the experience that you mentioned, the experience of leading men and women in uniform, the experience of moving agenda through the White House, certainly some of the most political real estate in the world, and a place that where we had to deal with constituent groups, challenges, competing budget priorities, and constraints, and we were able to get things done. That's the type of experience that we need here in Rhode Island, to get things done, to get things moving, and to connect Rhode Island to the rest of the country and to areas of growth and opportunity. We have to think a little bit bigger. We have to connect more, and we have to be pretty aggressive about these things. That's the experience I bring, and that's why I decided to run for governor.
Let's go to Scott.
If you could do one specific thing for the state's economy, what would be your first priority, specific now?
We need to make sure that our small businesses and the people who want to start a business here, raise their family here, have the access to the capital they need. That's why I want a $10 million fund for people who have an idea to get it going. So many small businesses just aren't able to get a loan because the banks aren't giving loans. And if a small business wants to be able to grow and to hire an employee, I think that will have an enormous impact on the state economy.
Let's go to Pablo.
You have been very vocal about your support for education. We just wake up with NECAP testing that shows that in reading, limited English proficient students are, the gap is wider than ever. And for 11th graders, you're talking about 70 percentage points below the rest of the students. What are you going to do as governor to improve this, the education system in the state, number one? And number two, do you support NECAP as a testing instrument for graduation?
No, I do not. I think that the gaps have grown too big. I want to make sure that our students are able to graduate. High school diploma is critical to getting on to the path to getting a job. What we need in our educational system is the opportunity for our students to develop the creative thinking skills that they need to deal with problems that are unpredictable. They need the experiences of art and sports and after-school activities that keep getting cut but are so important to their growth as individuals. And we need to have career and technical opportunities and alternative pathways so that all of our students can graduate and get into the workforce and begin contributing to the state's economy. Those are the things that I think we need to do. And I think we have to focus on that creativity, on those sports programs, and on certainly STEM as well, and less on the standardized tests that I think have caused so much uncertainty in our state.
And by STEM, you mean science, technology, engineering, and math. Clay, a Province Journal WPRI-TV Channel 12 poll this week shows you lagging behind the two front runners, Gina Raimondo and Angel Taveras, and it depicted them in a head-to-head race. Obviously, you're the most recent entry in the gubernatorial race, but what's your plan for winning this primary?
Well, I think we're in a great spot coming straight into the race. My plan is to focus on the economy, to focus on how we can invest in our small businesses, to focus on how we can make sure our kids have the education they need to end those gaps that Pablo was talking about. My plan is to talk about how we can make sure that we are competitive in this state and making sure that Rhode Island is a place where people can raise their families, go to college, and not graduate with excessive debt. These are the things that I'm going to focus on. That's what I think Rhode Islanders want, and that's how we're going to win this thing.
Pablo, we've heard good things about Clay's ability to speak Spanish, but there's only one Latino in the Democratic primary. That's Angel Taveras, of course, who's a Dominican-American. And the Latino community is obviously not a monolith. But how is what's your sense of how the Latino community is looking at the Democratic primary?
It's very interesting because there are Latinos, prominent Latinos, in every campaign. Victor Capellan introduced Clay during his announcement. Gina Raimondo has a number of councilmen and representatives in her campaign. And Angel, obviously, has tremendous support in the Latino community. So definitely not a monolith and a very, very interesting campaign moving forward.
Scott, how do you see the main assets of Clay Pell and the main challenges facing him in this primary?
Well, this poll, I don't put much stock in at all. I'll tell you, if I were the media people, I'm surprised they wasted their money even doing it this early. For one thing, Mr. Pell here has not even thrown his hat in the ring. He's put his toe in the water barely. And 41% of the people don't even know who you are, Clay. So this poll shows us nothing but name recognition. It's early. Shows that anybody can win. The undecided is huge. I frankly would have waited about 8 more weeks if I wanted to spend the money, and I was the media with that kind of money, to hire Joe Fleming, who's a very good pollster, as we know, to go out and test this and give people something out there that they could grasp onto that would be meaningful. This poll shows me nothing except name.
25% undecided.
Yeah, hello.
There's a new proposal at the General Assembly to legalize marijuana, regulate it, and basically treat it like alcohol. Clay, do you support that?
I think that we need to look at what Washington and Colorado are doing. My focus is how we're going to grow the economy. Certainly that would not be the place where I would begin growing the economy in Rhode Island.
Quickly, Pablo, as a physician, what do you make of this marijuana legalization proposal?
Once every 42 seconds, we arrest somebody in this country for marijuana possession. 799,000 arrests during the year. It is time that we start looking at this in an objective way. And medical authorities are already saying it's less problematic than alcohol or cigarettes.
The last word here to Scott.
Well, you know, it'd be nice to end the marijuana defense lawyer, police, correctional officer, prosecutor, industrial complex. We waste so much money in our society chasing people down for marijuana. But it would be good to see, I think, what the experience is in Washington State and Colorado before we jump in with both feet.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable, Democratic gubernatorial candidate Clay Pell.
Thank you for having me.
Pablo Rodriguez.
Saludos, amigos.
And Scott. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoyed the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.